Thank the Lord for victory in Jesus. That's where our victory comes from, isn't it? I was reading. I read something in the paper this week. Found it to be quite interesting. It said that, I believe it was what they call the Dalai Lama. He is the one that came up with Buddhism. It said that in his younger years, he read and read and read a lot about Jesus Christ. He said that he was very interested in that. So he went to a church, a Christian church in Calcutta, and they told him that he was not welcome there, because he was too far down in the caste system. He was too low in the caste system. Wasn't good enough, high enough in the caste system to be allowed to come to their services. So he went away from that, and we know the rest of the story. He was very disappointed that the people that proclaimed Jesus didn't seem to be acting the way Jesus told us to act. And he left there his one time to go to a Christian church to hear about this man Jesus, and he was rejected. Lord help us, we never know what one opportunity could mean to us all. We don't ever know. But we surely don't want to be guilty of something like that. The sister mentioned in her prayer about us doing the will of God and not hindering the kingdom and the work of the Lord. We don't want to do that. I have a little something on my mind, on my heart this afternoon. Believe it or not, the Lord gave me this back when wife and I were sick. I've been carrying this for some time. It isn't anything that I would call great or profound, but it's something the Lord revealed to me. And I have not forgotten it. I've carried it and been waiting on the Lord. And I feel like this would be the time for us to bring this out by the help of the Lord. The scripture says in Hebrews, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. That's Hebrews 1 and 2. That's not my text. Just thinking about in divers manners and sundry times, think about how patient and long-suffering that God has been with us, with man. It took over 4,000 years from the time man fell in the garden, according to Bible history, the time that man fell, for God to bring you and I to a place where we are today, to enjoy the blessings of the day of grace, the day of Jesus Christ. I've always been impressed with how God's wisdom is able to lead a man if he'll let him. And so I would like to examine some Old Testament scripture and finish in the New Testament. But we say a lot of times the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. It's God dealing with man through his humanity, through the flesh. Back then they sacrificed animals and those kind of things. It was God's plan to do that. But God's plan was to bring about something greater. than what they had back then. The Bible tells us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that there were some that I think that said they looked for a builder. How does that go? They looked for something for a city whose builder and maker is God. Thank you. People looked for it, but it wasn't there. But you and I have it today. And Lord, help us not to take it for granted, because God was very patient in dealing with man and through the years to bring what you and I have today. But, you know, when something is invented, when man invents something, the product that they invent always needs to be improved upon. Look at the automobile. The automobile, they called the horseless carriage because they always had carriages drawn by horses, but they built an automobile that had an engine, didn't need a horse. But they've improved on that automobile times and times again. You and I are enjoying the blessings of that. Well, God brought slowly, developed Himself to us, showed Himself to us in different manners and in different ways, through angels, through dreams, through revelations, through visions, through those kind of things. But I want us to consider something this afternoon, and I've entitled this little thing, The Breastplate of Judgment. Judgment is a word that we draw back from. I tend to draw back from it because we feel like that someone is being critical of us. Judgment is being critical, but when God judges us, He's not judging us to be critical. He's judging us by what He sees and what He knows and what He understands that's in my heart. God judges righteous judgment, doesn't He? But I want us to consider this breastplate, if you would, in Exodus, the 28th chapter. I don't want this to be too boring, but I have to tell you, I don't know if it, you know, you ever get alone and do a little reading, get a little Bible study and get excited? This really excited me to see how this turns out. The scripture, Brother Clint used it in the funeral Thursday, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I believe that's the way it was with God's great plan of salvation. The end was much greater than the beginning. But it was necessary to bring man slowly along, and God did that. But let's see what the scripture says here. In the 28th chapter of Exodus, God is speaking to Moses. And He said, Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar and Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. It's amazing, even in these days, those times, God was very specific, and He was very particular how He wanted to be worshipped, how He was to be worshipped. He still is today. Yeah. Only our worship is different than it was in that day. We worship Him today in spirit and in truth. So I want to skip down, if I could, to the 15th verse. Told Him to make these garments. For Aaron, we know that Aaron, he was the beginning of the priesthood in the days of the children of Israel. He was the first priest. God called him out to that responsibility and to that duty. And it says in verse 15, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twine linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. Thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they shall put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are upon the ends of, on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward." Now, God put a lot of detail in the breastplate. The breastplate of judgment. And he said, and I'm going to skip right down to the 30th verse. "And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." I want to tell you, when God called Aaron into the priesthood, it was no light thing. And he gave him a serious, very serious responsibility and a duty. You notice all the detail that was put in the making, the trappings of this breastplate of judgment. And he said, Aaron, again, I want to read it. And he said, Aaron, it should be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment. Wow. That's a great responsibility here. Aaron shall be responsible, if I can say it in my way, of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Aaron the high priest was to wear this and wear it before the Lord continually with the burden and the concern of God's people, with the children of Israel. Their name, the 12 tribes, the names of the 12 tribes was on the breastplate. And God said that he shall wear it and bear it before, bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. It was to be a memorial before the Lord. You know, God had witnessed to Abraham and promised him that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. So the children of Israel are Abraham's seed, and they were God's people, and God set up a priesthood. We still have that priesthood today. It's not Aaron, but we've got a priest today that is the great high priest, don't we? Now, I want you to see how the Word of God ties all of that together and what it means to you and I today. Back then, it was called the breastplate of judgment. To me, that could be something that was, when I call it the breastplate of judgment, that could be something that was harsh. That could be something that could be very, very strong. That could mean that this was God's judgment. When the children of Israel strayed away And when they went a-seeking after other idols and other things, Aaron, remember now, Aaron was bearing the breastplate of judgment before the Lord continually. That was a great responsibility. That was a great duty that Aaron had. He was the high priest, and he bore the judgment of Israel up on his heart before God continued. Folks, take notice of that, because that's important in what we are going to read, what we're going to read this afternoon. He bore the judgment of God upon the children of Israel upon his heart continually. The breastplate of judgment. Now I want us to look at something else. In Exodus, the 30th chapter, in verse 22, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive, and an oil of oil, olive, and hin. That was the amount of it, and hin. That was the weight. And thou shalt make it in an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. These are the things that God had set up in the beginning when Aaron was called by God to be a priest before God. He was an intercessor before God for the children of Israel. He stood in that place with the breastplate of judgment, and he bore that upon his heart. And all the things that the children of Israel did, they made the golden calf, they were weeping for it and remembering the leeks and the garlics and wanted to return back to Egypt and all. Aaron was bearing this breastplate of judgment upon his heart through all this. He was the high priest as long as he was living. And it says here, it shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all of his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Now it sounds to me like this is a pretty serious thing. When God, you see, the church belongs to him. His son came here to purchase it for him. And when God has designed something and he says that it is holy before him, that's what he accepts as holy. That's all that he accepts as holy. It isn't something that you or man man can contrive to decide, well, I can worship this way, or I can make this, or I can make that, back there in those days. But God told him specifically and directly how to prepare a holy anointing oil. And he told him, you anoint the tabernacle, and sanctify them, and he says the table and the vessels and the candlestick and the altar of incense, you anoint those things. But he said, don't let this oil come upon the flesh of anyone. You say, well, he said to anoint Aaron and his sons. That doesn't mean he had to put it on the flesh. They put it on the clothes, and they anointed them. But folks, what does that mean to us today? When you think of the holy anointing oil, do we still have a holy anointing oil? Yes, we do. It isn't that oil that we put on someone's forehead when we anoint them and pray for them, but you and I have an oil today, an anointing oil that comes directly from God through the Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts and ministers to us and inspires us and blesses us and teaches us and comforts us. That oil today, that back then, represents the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you and I are enjoying today. Types and shadows, the Old Testament. And you and I are reaping the benefits and the blessings of it. I thank the Lord for that. Some of these very rites, and I've got scripture, I don't intend to be here long, but I want to read a few scriptures to point it out that some of these very rites and ceremonies that God set in place back to in those days leads directly to Jesus Christ. Leads directly to the Savior of our souls. Let's look at another scripture now. Laying a little groundwork there, I want to look in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. 59th chapter of Isaiah, and first and second verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Thank the Lord. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Israel sinned against God many times, but God never gave up on them. He never gave up on them. He would have someone that he could call and trust to stand in the gap, and stand up for between God and the people, but he had set a priesthood in place. That priesthood, when that priesthood dissolved, but there was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, it said, that was a priest forever and forever, and that was Jesus Christ. God began to deal with his people through prophets, and he sent seers or prophets to tell them of their sins, to warn them of the wrath of God, didn't he? That's the way God dealt with them back in those days. So now he said here, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Folks, that's a very bad place to be. That's a very bad condition to be in. So let's drop down now to the 9th verse. Because of this, if I can say it that way, he said, therefore, is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. This is the condition of Israel when it was apostatizing and had fallen away from God, seeking after things that God told them not to seek after. Here's the condition of them. This is the condition of many of a soul today that has turned their back. It's the condition of the country of the United States today, if I can say that very plainly. People, a nation that has turned its back on God, turned their back on His righteousness, on His goodness, on His mercy, on the favor that He has shown this country through wars and through many other things that have gone on in our country, and they turn their back on that today. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Folks, like it or not, man has time after time down through history gotten in a place where they have got so far away from God that God has rejected them. God has left them. God has turned His back. It's one thing for us to turn our back on God. It's another thing for Him to turn His back on us. When He says that He will not hear, I think of that scripture so much. In the 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, He talks about to Zedekiah there. He was a king and he was a wicked king and he turned his back on God. He caused the people to turn their back on God. The Bible says God sent messengers time after time after time and they wouldn't listen to Him. They killed them and they destroyed them and all those kind of things. And God said He did all that He could to try to help those people until there was just no remedy, He said. Scripture says there's no remedy. Folks, that's an awful place to be in. I don't want to see our country get in that place. I don't want to see a soul get in the place where God deals with them, talks to them, works with them. And I'm talking about those that we love. I'm talking about those out of the ark of safety. I don't want to see those people get in a place where God won't deal with them anymore till there's no remedy. And I know you don't either. So he said here, verse 12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before Thee, our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." Wow! "Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter." It's really true, isn't it, that history repeats itself? It's really true that other generations down through time have had to learn the lessons the hard way. I've always wished that my children could listen to some of my counsel from the things that I suffered, got involved in when I was out in sin. I've wished they would listen and take heed so they wouldn't have to suffer the things that I've had to suffer. Some of the things that I did when I was in sin are causing my health to be what it is today. And folks, I want to tell you this afternoon, God is, He hasn't forsaken us. He's still given life and still given breath. But there are things, Lord, if we'll turn to God and if we'll turn to His ways, there's a lot of sorrow and a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache that we could be kept from if we turn to the Lord. There's a lot of that. But He said, "Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. Iniquity cannot enter. Equity, righteousness cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no judgment." You know, we don't want to get in a place where there's no judgment. Each of us individually, judgment is also having the ability to discern. You and I need to discern. We need to discern some things. We need to discern things about ourselves. We need to discern things about the world around us. We need to discern things about our loved ones. And we need to get a good stronghold and understanding of the truth of God's Word. We need discernment. But it was so bad and it displeased Him so much that there was no judgment. Now remember, God originally set up a plan. He set up a priest, someone that was a go-between before the people, between the people and God. Once a year the high priest went in and he made sacrifice for the people's sin. And it appeased God, but it didn't deliver anybody. But this was the system that God set up under the old law, under the types and the shadows. And Aaron bore this upon his breast, this breastplate of judgment for Israel to God, for all the people, for all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now we see in Isaiah's day that it came to a place where there is no judgment anymore. But look at verse 16. This is what gives, this blesses me, folks. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Now, look what this says here. For he put on righteousness as what? As a breastplate. Who's he talking about? Who put that on? Who put that on? Answer me.
Jesus.
Jesus put on righteousness. Now we don't no longer, we don't call this now the breastplate of judgment. Jesus took what you and I deserve. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. He paid the penalty for you and I. And folks, He took away the sternness of the old law and brought to you and I the sweetness and the blessings and the joy of a great salvation. And it says again, He put on righteousness as a breastplate, carried righteousness upon His heart for every man, woman, and child on this earth, in this world that's ever been. Christ put on a breastplate too, didn't He? But His breastplate was not a breastplate of judgment, folks. He didn't come. He told us in the Word, I am come to judge you. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to bring righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost to all mankind. That's what He came for. But the prophet here prophesied, He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Thank the Lord this afternoon for Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God for Jesus, folks. Back there in Aaron's day, all they really had in the way that I see this is a stern way of serving God. He had to get stern with them. He had to set something in plan. And really, it was hidden to them what you and I know and understand today. The Bible said, in the evening time there shall be light. And I'm so thankful for the light that we have today in Jesus Christ through His blood, through the plan of salvation. I'm so thankful for that today. But in that day there was darkness. But God had to bring it about, didn't He? And I trust God's wisdom. I trust His ability and understanding in how to deal with the makeup of man and how to bring man to a place where He took away the breastplate of judgment and gave unto you and I today a breastplate of righteousness. And you and I today can take that very thing and we can put on the breastplate of righteousness. Scripture says that. We'll read it in a little bit. That put on the breastplate of righteousness and we can enjoy all the blessings that God has. And that holy anointing oil, folks, it isn't something that we just anoint the tabernacle with and anoint the benches and things, but it's something that comes down and anoints our hearts, blesses our souls, and lifts us up into the realm of rejoicing and being in the presence of God. I never had that before. Never had it before. It was a breastplate of judgment. But today, our Savior put on a breastplate of righteousness. I am so grateful for that. Oh, I tell you what, I was reading that. I was so sick. And I really couldn't hardly meditate much. But, you know, the Lord just, you know, I thought, Lord, this is kind of a strange thing. But when I really got a hold of it, I thought this is kind of a strange thing in my sickness. I thought, Lord, this is blessed. This is wonderful to see how you started out working with your children all the way back in Moses' day and how you begin to set up a system of worship. Folks, there's some people today, there's some churches today that still wears the mitre and they still wear the breastplate and they think that's the way that they're worshiping God. Folks, that was done away in Christ. It was all done away. Those rites and ceremonies, all done away. If they're going to wear those kind of things and do those kind of things, they might as well go out and bring in the bulls and the bullocks and sacrifice them up on their altars.
Yes.
Christ did away with that. Gave us something more blessed. Not a breastplate of judgment. but a breastplate of righteousness. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. Oh, He put it on for us, folks. He did it for us. He didn't need it. He was already in His glory. He was already in heaven and already in His glory. But He did it for me. And He did it for you. You ever take something before the Lord in prayer and having a real need? Maybe it's just a headache or something. And the Lord answer your prayer? He did it for you. Folks, that really touches me when the Lord does something for me like that. Take it before the Lord. He answers. Nobody else knows anything about it. He did it for me. I thank God for that. That's because Jesus put on the breastplate of righteousness for you and I. I want to read a very familiar scripture, the 61st chapter here in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Who's He talking about? He's talking about Jesus again, isn't He? Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How many of us in here this afternoon was in prison? How many of us in here were bound by sin? All of us. In one way or another. But I thank God this afternoon that the things that the devil had used to bind me and to control me, God delivered me and set me free. Because my Savior put on the breastplate of righteousness. He brought righteousness to the world. Not rights, but righteousness. And I'm so thankful for it. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Not trees of judgment, but trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Christ came, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and when He left there, here, in this world, Lord, folks, He transferred that breastplate right to you and I. It's been given to you and I today. The breastplate of righteousness. Oh, I tell you, what a wonderful plan. You know, yeah, you start out with a plan sometimes. When you have a plan to do something, it may take a little while for that plan to come together. But I tell you what, God knew what the end was going to be when He started. He knew what the end was going to be when He started. He knew that He had a son there that when He searched through heaven and looked for someone that was worthy, He had a son that was worthy to come and take away that old breastplate of judgment. And bring them, put on the breastplate of righteousness for God's people. Oh, I appreciate it. I thank the Lord so much. Jesus was anointed. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. He was anointed. He was anointed to bring the good news to this world. He was anointed. The Jews wanted to kill Him and destroy Him. The Sadducees didn't believe in Him, didn't believe in a resurrection. But folks, He was anointed by God to come here and do these things for you and I. And we can enjoy our freedom and our liberty that we have in the Lord in this great day of salvation. I thank the Lord so much for it. We've been hearing about salvation, folks. You know it was accomplished through Jesus Christ. It was accomplished through His blood, through His body that was given a sacrifice. Now, as far as I know, this will be my last little scripture. But I want to turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I said I would culminate this in the New Testament. Familiar scripture. But I'm glad it is. I'm glad it's in there. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You know, God knew we was going to need some armor. Jesus put on the breastplate. God said here, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Talked about some of those this morning. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We know now where that started. We know where that came from, don't we? That started with Aaron all the way back there in the Levitical priesthood. And God took that breastplate that was judgment before God, because God judged His people, the children of Israel. But then He sent a son. And He blessed us with something so special and so great and so wonderful. And then He says, for us, stand, have your loins girt about with truth, and for us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yes. Folks, it's right here. It's in our manual here. Just exactly what we need to do and how to run this race. How to run it effectively. What to dress ourselves with. What to be prepared with. It's all here in this manual. The Bible, the Word of God. And God wants us to follow it, to put it on, to stand true, to stand tall. We are engaged in a spiritual battle until the Lord returns, folks. You might as well count on that. As long as you're here in this world, you're going to be engaged in a spiritual battle unless you leave here or the Lord returns. And there's not going to be any ceasefire or a temporary truce. We might as well just get a hold of that. There's no ceasefire. They tried those ceasefires here a while back over between Israel and Palestine. Palestinians over. It didn't work too well. Somebody kept breaking the ceasefire. Folks, the devil, you don't want to try to be diplomatic with him. You don't want to try to reason with him. Because, folks, we're in the battle. It's called Armageddon. It's the battle between good and evil, right and wrong. So, folks, the breastplate today is righteousness. Righteousness unto the Lord. What is that? Well, sum it up in my little terms, it's holy character. It's moral conduct. And it's obedience to the truth of God's Word. We're not here to follow a man. We're not here to follow someone's opinions. I know that when I get up here in a pulpit, you don't want to hear my opinions. That's not what we're here for. I want to know what God's opinion is. I want to know what He has to say about it. That's what you want to know, I know. But I've just been so blessed. And I've carried this around now, what is this? April, on the end of April. About 3.5 months, 3 months or so, the Lord gave it to me. I've carried this around, and I tell you, it's been a blessing to me to see how God loves mankind, His creation, so much. And what He did, the pains that He took. Think of the pains. What I mean, the patience and waiting on all the time to bring all this about to the day of Jesus Christ. It started with the breastplate of judgment. And now we have Christ that is our intercessor. Aaron's not our intercessor no more. The ministry is maybe the type of Aaron the priest. We're not your intercessors either, are we? We don't go through man. We go directly to Jesus Christ, the one that put on the robe or the breastplate of righteousness. I'm so thankful for that this afternoon. What a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful, perfect plan of salvation that God in His love and mercy has given, prepared for you and I. And the Bible tells us there's things that are prepared for us beyond this old world that our tongues and eyes can't even express. If God went to that kind of lengths to prepare for you and I to enjoy the blessings here, what does He have over there? Aren't you anxious to find out? I am.